right, so we are talking about loving internationals. If you've been around me in some of the seminars I've done before, you know I do a lot of work with international students, and while we will mention one or two things about them, that's really not our topic today, per se, but a much broader topic. Besides the fact that there are a million international students on our campuses, which is significant, right now there are 44.5 million people in the United States that have not been born in the United States. They're living in the United States right now. They're in all of our neighborhoods. There's five houses on our cul-de-sac, and two of them are internationals. So we'll probably all know internationals around us, whether they happen to be students or adults or families or some of everything. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is that broader topic of loving internationals. And I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll give a couple opening remarks before I turn it over to the illustrious panel we have sitting in front of us. So let me pray for us. Lord, you are a God who cares for the foreigner, the sojourner, that has chosen to call a people to be your own and has chosen to open up that people to people from every tribe and nation and people and tongue on the face of the earth. Help us as we figure out how to love those that are from a different place than we might be. They're living right here among us. Thank you even for this day and age where people from all over the globe, right here in our own neighborhoods, that we get to rub shoulders with day in and day out. Help us to be those who love them, care for them, show them your love and your care. Bless us today as we come and give panelists wisdom as they choose what to say, and may you help us to practically know how to love the internationals around us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So I start on the piece of paper you got. If you didn't get one, feel free to grab one on the side here. With a couple of statistics. Right now there are 44.5 million residents in the U.S. that were foreign born, or 13.7% of our population, and growing. Every year that statistic has been going up. Right now the U.S. is the largest number of immigrants in the world. Of the 244 million international migrants, 19% of them are in the United States. Where do they come from? All over. Right now the foreign born population in the U.S. is 27% from South and East Asia, 26% from Mexico, 25% from other Latin American countries, and about 13% from Europe and Canada. 2016, which is last year I was able to find numbers for, that particular year, 1.18 million internationals came in legally through our systems. Of those, 48% came because they have relatives in the U.S. immediate relatives. 20% were family sponsored, 13% were refugees or asylum seekers, and 12% came for employment purposes. And then the rest came, there's all kinds of specialty programs. It's people from a certain country in a particular war zone are allowed to come. And the rest came from specialty programs like that. As I mentioned, there's also, in addition to that, another million international students in the U.S. About 45,000 of those are in Pennsylvania. And a lot are in the Philly area. Philly has largest concentration of schools in the state, actually that's the fourth largest concentration of universities in the country. So lots of internationals here. Probably the statistic that I came across this morning that struck me the most, one in four children under 18 in the United States right now is in a family that has at least one foreign-born parent. Interesting. It's, you know, there's a lot, you know, the kids we minister to and run into across all the time, bunch of them, even if they've been born in America, one of their parents was not. What's the Bible say? Well, I could have printed pages worth of stuff. I printed a few verses here. I'm not even going to read all of the ones I printed here. Second one there, Deuteronomy 10. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. He reminds the people of God as they're left Egypt and coming into the promised land. At one point you had to be in another land, and I cared for you, and you needed people to care for you in that land. So as other people come into your land you're about to get, you need to care for them as well. One of the things I find is I looked at a lot of the verses on this, fatherless, widow, sojourner are often put together. Those are three categories that are often in scriptures as ones that God loves. And on the inverse, Deuteronomy 27, cursed be anyone who perverts justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow. And all the people said amen. So God gives justice to them, loves them, says we should care for them, and God will curse those who decide not to give justice to them. Even as he talks about inheritance at one point in Ezekiel, you shall allot an inheritance for yourself for the sojourner who resides among you and have had children among you. They shall be to you as native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. Again, interesting. And we're not going to, the goal of this seminar is not to open up all the debates over legal and illegal immigrants in our country, but there's just that sense in Scripture, the Israelites were told, the sojourner that's been among you and the children among you, they should get an inheritance among you, as if they were one of yours. If you truly execute justice with one another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers. Again, God is looking out for not just his people in the land, but for the others that are among them. And of course, our theme verse, one of our theme passage for this conference is in Matthew 25, and this is one of the pieces listed there. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. So that's kind of, some things to get us thinking here. So the question is, how do you and I, as ordinary people, with ordinary lives, with ordinary neighbors around us, as we come in contact with people from another country, another culture, another place, how do we get to know them? How do we get to love them? That's why we've put this panel together here. A majority of the people sitting up here have come to the U.S. from another place. A couple people here have gone to another place from the U.S. and lived for a few years. And we want to ask them some questions about their experiences as they came to a new country and how we, as ordinary people around them, can love them, care for them, be a help to them, whether they're new or whether they've been around for a while, how we can walk with them. So here's what I'm going to do first. I'm just going to start at the far end, down there, and walk down the panel here. And I just want to know, what is your name? What country were you born in or grew up in? And when did you come to America, or when did you go to another country, if you're one of the ones that came from America to another country? So Thiago, start us off.
So my name is Thiago Lima. I'm born in Brazil. I'm from Recife.
When did you come to the U.S.?
I come 2 years ago.
Okay, very good.
My name is Anna Lee. I grew up in Delco, but I moved to Brazil a month after I graduated high school. And I lived there for 8 years, and then Thiago and I came back 2 years ago.
And how long ago did you get married?
10 years ago.
Okay, very good.
My name is Andrew, and I came to this church my whole life, but then after college, Jess and I went and lived in China for 3 years. So.
My name is Leonid Ivanenko. I'm originally Ukrainian and born in Ukraine. Came here in 1998, it's 21 years. Stayed here before that, I never changed any place. This was the first change in my life. I don't have any other experience.
Lily, Ivanenko, mom and dad, they dragged me here.
Yeah.
I was 16, I had no choice. Not legal, not illegal yet for being. So that's how I ended up coming here. Was born in Ukraine, Odessa, Black Sea. So I missed that part. Black Sea, I missed that part.
Lena, mama for her and wife for him. Same dates for arriving.
I'm Asia, I'm from Taiwan.
What?
Okay. And normally when we introduce ourselves, we just the same with what he said. Mm-hmm. So, what she said.
Yeah. When did you come here?
Yeah.
2009.
You have to tell your name and where you were born. Okay. So my name is Xiao Zanyu. Yeah. You're right, yeah. And just for everybody convenience, so I picked my name is Zeno. So you can otherwise I know you cannot memorize my name. And I born in Taiwan, Taipei, and she born in Taiwan, Tainan. Yeah, and 10 years ago we came here. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, one of the things that I found working with international students is a lot of them will pick a simpler English name, sometimes one that sounds similar to their Chinese name. Sometimes they'll just pick a famous basketball star or something like that and say, this is my name. So when you hear their name, you know, if you get to know them, a great question is to ask them what their given name is, and then, you know, because they usually have another name besides the easier one that they give all of you. My next question, for those of you that came to the U.S. from somewhere else, before you arrived in the United States, what made you most excited about coming here? Or what were you most fearful of, kind of afraid of? Whether that was true or false, what kind of, from afar, when you looked at the United States, what got you really excited? What got you, I'm gonna go, but I'm a bit nervous about this before you got here. Any thoughts on either of those two questions? Anybody on the panel can answer these, probably two or three people will be great. So, go ahead.
There is no fear at all. I was young, I was 40 at this point. And I had a dream to separate from my parents' home.
Okay.
It's a culture. I was born in the house, I grew up until 22, got married. We didn't have opportunity to move out from the mom's dead house because it just was sensitive time. We were paying for our own house and we lost our money, we lost our house, everything. We just left it behind. I visited one time Ukraine. He visited, and we went to see, did not finish the house and a huge apartment. I said, I'm the owner of that piece. So that, of course, like normal family, we had a dream to have our separate house for mm-hmm. my family. We never experienced ourselves like separate family from parents. It wasn't easy at all. And then other stuff, but there wasn't any fear, just hope. Just because we had God, we knew that He's taking care of us.
Okay. So you knew the Lord, you knew Jesus before you came to America.
I knew that He's gonna provide, He's gonna take care. I knew that I will find my relatives, friends here, church, everything.
Okay. And so you have family here too, in the U.S.
Yes, His parents.
Any others?
Yeah, I am excited. Exciting things. I think maybe I can go and see the Statue of the Liberty.
Yes.
And probably I can see Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Yeah, and I did in the New York street, which is that's I'm excited, and because all the information that I get about America is from Hollywood movie, which is not true. So I always like a teasing team. Now you're in high school, so do you somebody bully you or you bully somebody? Because in my mind, like a high school is all about bullying.
Bullying, okay.
Yeah, but
so you know the few TV shows you've seen or little articles you've read about something in America, and that's kind of shaped your picture of what you're coming to.
Yeah, but it's not true.
Okay.
And the things I fear is of course, language barrier. And then because Ajahn and I, we work in Taiwan for many years, and we quit our job and we sold our house. We just come here to study. So it's like a gamble. Like we don't know what here look like. We have no friend, no family here. And I wasn't a Christian at that time. So people always say, you can go to church, you can go to church. But for us, we don't know how can we get there. Mm-hmm. People say it's easy, just walk in. But walk in where, when, and how? People might think you're gonna be weird guy or something, especially mine.
Yeah.
My looks like weird, you know. I tell you a story. Like one time when I take the camera and I'm taking a picture outside, mm-hmm. and then one woman she stopped and looked at me. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking a picture." And she said, "You break the rule, and I gotta report you." And then I say, I don't think I break the rule. Even I take the building, if I don't use it in the commercial use, and I'm fine. Because at that time, I studied in the one law school, so I think I believe I know my rights, so. But she said, "It doesn't matter, I cannot report you." And I say, "Is this, you are the owner of this building?" She say, "No, I just passed by." I say, "Okay, whatever you want, you can report me." And so that's...
So in one case, you have family that you're coming, that is here as well. Another, you're coming with a sense of being all alone. You know nobody, you don't... You kind of know that probably your perspective of what's here isn't right. You don't know how to get a right perspective. You don't know how to do anything when you get here. Even when people say to go do something, you know, go here, that'll be a good place. You don't know where that is or how to get there. It would be very strange walking in when you know nobody. Pretty good. When you first arrived, was there anything that surprised you about America? I see some nods. What surprised you?
You want to start? No? Me? Okay. First of all, when we arrived in the airport, we looked at the people, and me personally, I'm like, what are they dressing into? Sneakers and a skirt. How that goes along? Out of different cultures, so we always dressed up. Nobody would go outside not dressed up. Sneakers and skirt doesn't go. So I was like, okay, people don't have any taste.
Okay.
But then when they drove us to the hotel and we saw paper on the streets and all that, and said garbage, and I said, whoa, that's just too bad. Because out of where I was, we had Saturdays occasionally clean outside, mandatory. So I remember those times when the streets been washed. So it was like a strange and really shocking.
This dream country wasn't quite the amazing dream that you had dreamed it to be.
No.
Huh? The streets of gold, streets of litter.
No, not the gold, but not us doing it.
So that was like two shocking things. Like it is,
right.
What is this? Like, this country has everything. Apparently, they're saying that their economy is great and everything up and high. When you're coming from the, I think, not that rich country, and you have cleaner situation on the streets than in the country that has everything, I was like, no, something wrong in here.
Okay. How about others? What surprised you when you first got here?
Yes, we're all looking at you.
Go ahead. Anything? Either Asia or Zima?
Yeah. Okay. Before I come here, in my country, people say, you know, the Americans, they have no manner, or they are rude or something. But when I stay here, the first thing that shocked me is, you are very polite. I think it's polite in our people. You say hello to people all the time. So one time when Aja and I we walk on the street, and a white guy, he passed me and he say, "How are you doing?" And then I look at him, and I'm fine, thank you. And you and he already. Okay. And I ask Aja, did he know you or what? No, I'm like as new as you, so I don't know anybody in here. So why they say hello to us? And then I try to figure out, because in my country, like only three kind of situation, people are gonna say hello to you. First thing is they want to do survey. They say, "Can you fill out this survey for me?"
Right.
And the second thing is they're salesmen. So they're gonna sell, it looks so good. Do you want to try our new products or something? And the third one is like, he's a psycho. So only this kind of situation, otherwise nobody gonna say hello, like on the street to the stranger. So I think, yeah, here people are blind.
Diago, anything surprised you? I mean, I know you were living with somebody who came from America, so you, yeah. But anything that surprised you?
I think in my country, legislation funciona tão bem. The laws don't work very good, like here.
Yeah.
Very surprised me.
The first time you got pulled over for speeding, you realize you don't care about it all. Laws are more enforced here, mean something more here. Okay. Well, this is for everybody, or any of you that wish to answer, but this is a bit broader. The first time you came, got to America, or got to whatever country, to China, Brazil, when you first got there, what are some things that people did with you, around you, or conversations they had with you that you found very helpful? Again, as we think about, you know, so we meet a Zeno for the first time and we don't know him, and he doesn't know anybody. What kind of things did people do or say or point you towards that were helpful to you when you were in a new country, in a new situation?
It's easy to say conversation. Don't you know that we were numb and not able to speak English at all for 2-3 years?
Okay. So that's the first people can't really speak with you.
In the college, I remember a tutor, Suzanne, was the name, was begging me, Lena, say something. Just something to say. And I was sitting like, that would be question, the biggest struggle. Lena not able to speak. You cannot imagine.
Oh, my. And once you were starting to be able to speak, did people start talking with you
people
more?
People were helpful every time, even when I'm not speaking. Let's say something nice about American. I never afraid that they're not friendly or something. I knew about that. That was kind of like people talking in my country. Oh, you don't know. You will never know your neighbor. You won't be able to talk to Americans. They're separated. They're close in a house. You will. It wasn't scary for me. We moved to the house. I saw a couple neighbors. I just stepped out. I saw a man, a little bit guy, 20 years older than me. I said, hi, I'm here, your neighbor. I live across the street. My name is blah, blah, blah. And then each of them, they are still friends to me. They invited me in the house. It depends how we behave. If we build that relationship, if you're not sitting in our house, not saying to anybody, hi. And I remember it was like, I got my license. Oh, you cannot imagine. They can test without knowledge English. Mm. It's a little dictionary. I go to Pendant and sit in. I got my license on a third time. This guy from first time. Yes. I was sitting at night doing interpretation, translation, every word, studying. You need to get license. And, we got our first car, Eagle Premier. Beautiful car. Do you remember, Serge? So I'm driving from college and took to the Route 1, and my car, poop, stop. What I gonna do? I cannot call. I cannot talk. Nothing. Immediately, I'm just, praise the Lord. He is really taking care. I just opened the door. A huge truck stopped nearby me. Do you need help? And I could understand that question. I said, yes, he's talking to me, asking something. I'm zero, nothing. He opened the hood, then ran back to the truck, grabbed a piece of rock, something doing. Try it. I just could say for him, thank you. You are my angel today. It was really the angel in a human face. So he let me drive from, the exit from college, get to the Route 1, and exit on the McDade Boulevard. I was going up front. He was following me. As soon he saw that I put my right turn, he, like, around his car nearby mine and say, bye-bye. I came to the apartment which was used to live. I said, Lord, thank you. I saw you today.
Amen.
That the American people. I'm not just about dress. I was shocked too. And by the way, to change it a little bit, some people just grumbling and saying, oh, what kind of country, Dory? Then my father arrived. For some reason, he found Ukrainian. That Ukrainian never speak Ukrainian. He was Englishman. They was working on a garden together nearby apartment. My husband, my father will wake up really early, go outside, just flip the door, pick up the trash. And we lived in the beautifulest part of the apartment complex because my father was taking care. So if each of us will do something little, it can change. But people, as people, American people, they're really nice people. As, especially 20 years ago, when you come into the intersection, you go first. I love it. I remember, oh, children need to pay for toilet paper. The work is clean.
There you go. So some things are a little cleaner. But I appreciate and I'm challenged by just that, that's even when you were at that point where you couldn't speak the language, where you couldn't, people coming around you,
yes,
showing they cared, helping in a need, even when you couldn't explain it, figuring out what you needed and helping, meant a huge amount. And I know for myself, it's challenging. Sometimes
so
I get back away from somebody that I can't have any communication with, except maybe that part of it is I can have communication, even though we don't have a language yet.
Mm-hmm.
We can communicate, and we can still be involved in people's
mm-hmm.
lives.
Well,
when
I came, I was 16, so it is. I finished school in Ukraine, so I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come here at 16, you're still not graduated by the American law. So I had to go to Ridley High. With no zero English. And so when they tested me, there's like, okay, history, you know, because that's the subject we study in school. Physics, I passed it with the high green lights, chemistry, and all these things. It's like, what do you need to learn is English.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, 4 classes of ESL.
Yeah.
And all those 4 blocks, it was ESL.
Okay.
At one point, they decided, like, do you want some difference? And I said, yeah, please. And he goes, well, what do you want to take? I'm like, math, please. And he goes, which one? I'm like, calculus. And he goes, okay, no problem. And I get in the calculus class, and there's only 9 students. And I'm like, what is the problem here? Why it's only 9? He's like, well, not everyone is at that speed. So, yeah, English was a... the worst thing. Still the worst
Still
thing. The problem is, in language that we speak, Ukrainian or Russian, we have rules, certain rules, and you need to follow. But the way you write, the way you speak. And there is no 2 letters for 1 sound. It is nothing like that. And when it comes to English, it's like mess.
It was shocking. I've always done in the college. What is the rule? Just remember it. What? They just needed to see my, what you talking about? What is the rule? That's supposed to be rule. Why are you supposed to say that, not that, write that, and just remember it. Are they crazy? How can I remember
that? Yeah, when I was in Uganda, I had to have a translator even when people spoke English, because their language had one and only one pronunciation, never silent, and they pronounced English that way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. Others, things that somebody did or when you got here that were, or the first few months that you were in a new country that were helpful to you or that meant a lot to you?
I think for me in Brazil, a big thing, so most Brazilians don't have cars, especially if you live in Northeast Brazil. It's very poor, so nobody has cars. So everyone depends on public transportation to get everywhere. So public transportation there, I mean, it's just like here that you have buses. They have very limited train systems in the Northeast, so you can't really get anywhere on the train. But the buses are a lot different than here, because when you get on the bus, it's not like you're paying the bus driver. There is actually a little like rotator thing you have to go through, kind of like when you go through to the library or something. And there's a person sitting there that you have to pay. And so, you know, the first time I ever took the bus in Brazil, I actually took it, this was before I had moved there. The first time I took it, I was with Tiago, and he was taking me and my best friend to the beach. We were there visiting. And they didn't tell me this when we got on the bus. It was the first time I ever got on a bus in Brazil. No one told us. When you get on a bus in Brazil, you need to hold on. No one told us that. Because the bus driver's there. They're not going to, like, slowly accelerate. You're on, they close the door, they hit the gas. But when I moved there, that was like a big thing that like they taught me, because I had a job, so they taught me how to get to work. It was a volunteer job, but how to get to the school, you know, how to get from the bus terminal, like how to walk there, and then, you know, how to get back home and everything. And just like learning that, you know, when you're in a different country, learning how to get somewhere, even if it's just one place, you know, it took me like a month to get someone to teach me how to get to the supermarket. But, you know, being able to go to work every day, that was a big thing for me, because it was like, well, if someone, you know, the person I lived with worked with me, but if she was sick or something, I still would know how to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just gives you a little bit of independence in that, you know, you don't have a car. So just knowing how to walk somewhere or take the bus somewhere, that's like a big thing that, like, you know, you can get so, somewhere. You're not stuck in the house.
The key thing for, in any new country is figuring out the transportation, and even things like a bus, which sound like you know how to use them, are very different in another place.
Yeah.
And that'll be true of people coming here, too. Our transportation system
because if you get on a bus here, people are not going to know, what do I do? Like, why is there a person... The driver sitting here, he's got a box next to him. They're going to be like, what do I do here? You know, whereas in Brazil, there's actually a person specific for you to pay.
Yeah, so helping people figure out our transportation system.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I think that's helpful too, making sure they can get to the one or two key places they need to get to first and get that kind of down. But then helping them figure out how to move beyond that
places.
And how to understand the system. Because at first, you're not trying to figure out the system. You're trying to figure out how to get from A to B because you have to.
Yeah.
Others.
Yeah, I have the same problem like that, because they're here. Like, when I need to take bus, and I don't know where the bus stop is, because in town we have like a huge, like, they show the every information when they arrive. They have like a LED screen,
mm-hmm.
to tell you
mm-hmm.
which number they're gonna arrive within how many minutes. But in here, it's kind of a challenge for me. So people, for example, the first year when I was here, and I say I want, people tell me I can go to H Mart to buy some Asian food. So I say, so how can I get there? And they say, just take a 119, and I can go to the 69th Street. And 119, so where can I get the bus stop? And you just go, and at that time I don't understand, because I no English.
Yeah.
So and then how can I get there? How can I pay for
mm-hmm.
like a bus fare?
Mm-hmm.
So they say you can buy the token. Okay. I thought it's when we go to the like an arcade and you buy the
token, right?
What is that? So where can I get that? Oh, you can go to the shop, right?
Shut up.
How can I get there? And
take
they
the
say,
bus.
Yeah, you can take a bus to Shanghai. Okay. We're in the day end. Okay. So, okay. And then we figure out, and then again, like, I don't know, 693. So when should I, like, get up? You know that. Okay, now you know. And so at that time, I have, like, these kind of things bother me. Like, for you guys, like for example, when I need to get my driver's license, I don't know where should I go.
Mm-hmm.
In my country, I know, but in here, I know there must some organization like ours, but where and how can I get them? Especially I'm a foreigner, so the document I need is different from you. So like even you won't help me, sometimes you say you only need your this, that. But for me, I probably need the
I-20.
Right,
you need a different
set of
passports.
Yes. I-949.
Yeah.
Right, you need a totally different set of
passports. Right?
Yeah.
That, those kinds of stuff. So, and then if it will be someone, we have to redo that again. We go there and...
So you wait your 2.5 hours and they tell you don't have the right
paper.
Where
is 9494? And that's...
Next time.
So, but now it's more easier because we have a smartphone with a Google Translate. So,
just
show him how long this.
And that's one thing I discovered. The first time I did the Thanksgiving dinner at Widener, I was sitting with a couple of the Chinese exchange students. So they weren't even the ones that had come to study long term. They had just come for a semester. And, I'm talking to them and they're all sitting there on their phones. After a bit, I was getting annoyed. Until I realized, I saw one of them was typing what I was saying into Google Translate.
Yeah.
that there are tools available, and then we get, as Americans have to kind of get used to that. I guess nowadays you're used to everybody having a phone, but I was offended at first until I realized, they actually are trying to interact with me, and this is helping them.
Yes,
a lot of those things can be scary. I mean, I haven't moved somewhere else, but I visited Germany at one point, and I remember standing on a train platform, hearing an announcement in German that I didn't understand, and literally everybody left the train platform. It was about 5 minutes before my train was supposed to come. I was like, I'm guessing they just said my train's not coming. Now what do I do? Luckily, about 15 minutes later, everybody came back, and then the train showed up. They all went to the coffee shop across the street. But I was like, am I stranded? What do I do? And, I figured I could find somebody that could speak English if I had to, but a barter, that... You're not going to fight with somebody around the corner.
Well, here's the thing. It was really bad, but then when they take us to Northeast Philadelphia, to one of the Jewish stores, and you hear only Russian, and you're like, oh, I'm home.
Okay, so there's something, there can be something helpful about making sure we connect somebody we meet with some of the others like that. Maybe not tell you that you can go to H Mart and what the bus is, but take you to H Mart when you get here so you can actually meet, get some cultural food and find somebody of your culture.
And a year later when we had to go and pick it up Grandpa and Grandma from New York, we drove by the Brooklyn and Manhattan and we walked on the Brooklyn line and you're like, yay, also Russian language. Apparently a lot of Russians here. Then we figure out that most of the Russians are Jews.
Well, let me kind of invert the question. We asked what was helpful to you. Without naming names in the room here, is there anything that somebody did that wasn't helpful to you or something you wish people would have done? Again, we're trying to learn. Sometimes there's things we can do that are culturally insensitive and that actually aren't helpful even though we thought they were. So is there anything, as you entered another culture, that you just found either unhelpful or that you really wish somebody would have done that they never did?
No.
No?
No. Everything was good.
Everything was good.
Well, we like food, trying food out and everything else, so it's...
Okay.
It's
everything
not
was helpful.
Okay.
It's not that.
Okay.
And I see difference between us. Like, just because we knew the Lord, we had a church, we had friends, they came. You guys really need to pay attention for such as people, not like us. If you know the Lord, you will find your church. You know how to open the door. They did not have to go to the church, It's easy to say.
Like when people say, I just go to church, and at that time, I really don't know how to do that. And at that point, and you come to the Winer, and we met you and Joyce, and she said, how about I meet you in which door? And 9 o'clock, and I will take you in or introduce you to other people. And then suddenly I feel like we find some place that we can stay.
It's huge.
Thank you.
It's huge.
You have about 15,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
we have about 15 minutes left. So let me do this. Let me ask if any of you have any fun story you'd like to tell or something else you want to share, and then I'm going to open it up for some questions as well. Again, whether you came to America or came from America or somewhere else, something that would help, anything that would help us. Fun story. Go ahead, Leon.
And then first time that I came here, I'm looking for a go a little bit and some school about a little bit the English for maybe 10, 20 words for this, and looking for some job because I was one and I asked them I had a plan about going to some machine shop because I worked there before. I know this job for some the truck driver because I don't have too much choice of that. And I said, my brother-in-law, he worked in the machine shop before that. He came before me a longer time. And he told about the boss, about it to me. And he says, bring him and I will see what he can do. And he said, don't talk to me about where he worked, what he did. Bring me, I will see, want to see with my eyes. And I came in that company, start to work. About 1 week I was working.
Just say place. Zero English. He started to work, zero
in. Yeah, that's the start. And the owner asked another manager because he had a different company, different places, same company, but different places. Take him another place because we have the Hungarian man on this. He can help him. This. The manager asking, we think he speaks the Ukrainian or Russian, Hungarian guy. Talking about this. Three different language, Asian, Europe, and American. And Italian, because he's from Italian. And I came to that place, nobody speaks the Russian, Ukrainian, because the Hungarian is so different language. Something for that, absolutely. And I heard that some once guy, Slovakian, something. It's like something between the Ukrainian, Russian, Polish, and Slovakian, some language, but something I can understand. And after today, I see that it's better for me this, because I see that I have some friends from the Ukrainian church, from the Russian churches, some who work in a company who have some of the Russian speakers, younger, who speak Russian English, and they not catch 50% about this, because sometimes some people younger than me, and they go to the doctor, they need some state of that. They're not practicing this one. I had that because I don't have any choice for that.
Yeah.
I have to.
I mean, my
English not
good. International, finding a job is one of the hard things, but I try to challenge for us that for anybody here, too, that has the ability to hire people, even hiring somebody that doesn't have any language can, you know, you've obviously been a valuable employee to them and learned the language through it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't be scared of that.
You're not scared, Leo.
He's really good in math, so he could convert and
stop.
He's just saying stuff, but that is really good in math. He can calculate everything in his brain.
Yeah,
so when he was doing it,
yeah, that was
for
another problem for the. I seen that some one time they lose power for that, and he's doing something some the math for the for some of the programs for this. No, take a calculator or check them by taking a pencil. But they stop, everybody stop. How you can do it? You don't have a computer, it's off. But so what, this is computer. You can't, without a computer, you can do nothing for this.
Yes. He was basically doing everything in his brain.
Leo, the walking computer.
No, that was something not normal for me. It was why you go in a school, so that if you can make it same every single
one.
That's
great. Yes. Well, why don't we take about 5 minutes for Q&A? I have something I want to do in the last 5 minutes together. But for 5 minutes, any questions from any of you for the panel as a whole or anybody in particular on the panel?
I'm just curious. My question is like two-part. Do you guys, this is for all of you, do you guys feel loved by this church body? And then if the answer is yes, what has been shown to you, I guess, to have you know that?
Mm-hmm. So much love. I just stepped in to the church. And then we left for vacation. First vacation in USA after the 10 years hard work here. He didn't take any vacation, just working. We needed a house, we had two children. He did go to Florida, big vacation for two weeks something. And we visited church one or two times here. He came back to home, pile of mail. I opened the mail, there was a letter that my family invited to the group, and we are members of Bob Evans as an elder. And I started to cry. I was impressed. That was real life. Love, somebody is caring for you. Somebody thinking about you, praying for you. Yes, guys, thank you so much, and praise the Lord. And again, it's a big difference between immigrants who come in knowing the Lord and who is coming not knowing the Lord.
Your question kind of made me quiet again. I was interested
in what you, because that's, as I try to love the international students, I'm kind of maybe struggling in ways to show that.
It is I can understand, probably we are kind of different situation, because we come here and everything we have to do it by our own self. And the others international, because we like it in the first few years, and we also Aja and I, we try to help those other international students, but we get a lot of trouble. So I know, especially we speak the same language. So, and in our culture, they always think older people, like the people who are older than them, we have to help them out.
Oh.
But then, so that's why that's our part of our culture. So I try to help them out, but finally I have a lot of things I need to do. I have to referee. If they have something happen, they argue, they come to me, and then I just say I want to be fair. So if I, and then it make me feel make them feel like I'm supposed to one side. So then we start have not good relationship. So I'm thinking about that's why now I kind of stay away from those international students who speak the language like me, because I get a lot of trouble. If somebody owes somebody's money, they want me to collect the debt for them. Yeah, and then they need me to drive them to somewhere, but I have things need to do. But if I did not help them, and then they think what we speak same language, why you did not help me? And I said, I won't help you, but you want me to take you to go shopping to the outlet? If you need some basic things, yes, but you want to go shopping. And I don't shop because most of them, they are from rich family. Not all of them, some of them. So most of the time, I just sit there and wait for them to shop. So, and then they think, they look us down, you guys are a loser. You cannot even buy the Gucci bag or something. But the problem is that we don't need that. Right, so I can understand some situation is different from us.
It's
not
culture.
Yeah,
I used to work at the refugee in the office, government job. The same problem. There is a goal to make them self-sufficient. They will try to abuse you and demand such a stuff that I needed some time to say, just no, guys, that's enough. You have your daily bread, close and go and work for them. There, it's a sensitive stuff, have to help refugee people. Just be so sensitive. That has to be made a plan. Like a child. This is yes, this is no. That's too much. Or if you spoil your child too much, you will feed them until 5 years old with the spoon. I have this experience. Same with immigrants. Same with the immigrants. Just be careful and sensitive. They like to abuse and demand such a stuff that even American people cannot imagine it. Their expectation too much like America. Everything from movie. We didn't have TV in Ukraine, that easier for me. We were more simple to the great. Earth.
Great. Yeah, but about your question, yeah, my answer is yes. And I tell you, I'm not crying baby before I come to this church. You know, when I studied in my home country, we do corporal punishment. I never cried because somebody hit me. Or when I was trained in army, no matter how tough it is, I never cried. And then even like the first, like 8 years when I stay here, I still didn't cry. But after I come to this church, I cry a lot.
Probably I have something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Because of him. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can really feel the love. Because before that, I don't trust in God. Because my education is like, I know in China a lot of atheists, because we believe, like in our culture, we believe only you can help yourself, which is true. But sometimes we are weak, we feel hopeless. So that's why we need God help. And then in here, like I feel like a bunch of love in here because you say hello to me all the time, which made me feel like I'm like a part of this country. Yeah. So not just like a random people say, how's it going?
what's up?
Yeah, what's up? And I always struggle in this question. I'm driving crazy. Like they ask me what's up, and then I say I'm good, and then look at me and say, okay, and maybe I gave the wrong answer. Yeah, the first time when people ask me what's up, and I.
Same reaction.
I usually say, I'm not American. I'm not good today. I'm not a liar. How can I put my work smile if I'm not good? Of course, I am supposed to be professional, but cannot make a mask and hee all day. I'm not an artist. I am my heart and soul.
All right, well, we're going to need to wrap up in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to make one comment here, just a second, and then when I'm done, I'm going to start down there and just put it online. Everybody think of one last thing you want to tell people. In a few moments, you know, like 30 seconds, here's the last closing thought I have. So, on the bottom of your sheet, before we get to the closing thought, is I did put some resources. This is probably the piece that I felt the most ill-equipped to do, because I mostly work with international students, and I know there's a whole lot of other issues that immigrants and refugees and just the internationals in our community deal with, and I'm not an expert in those. I do know Bethany Christian Services in our area, the Philadelphia branch, is working with refugees. Actually, they're working on educating children of refugees. They had contacted me a little while ago just as they were looking for a place to set up a school. They work with fostering of refugee children that are displaced from their parents. So that's a Christian agency in the area that works with refugees. I also know some people that have been connected with our church that work with Catholic Social Services right down here on McDay Boulevard, because they actually help place refugees in people's homes. So those are two things that in our area happen to know about. I'm sure there's others. Just looking around the internet, Charity Navigator is a place that tells you about nonprofits and rates them and helps you to make sure that they're legitimate, because there's also a lot of illegitimate stuff out there. And they have a special page. One of their hotline pages right now, Hot Topics pages, is on immigrants and refugees, and they list the top 10 agencies in the country that deal with both. So that might be a place to start if you're looking for resources. In terms of international students, the other thing that's out there, there's a lot of places I found the PA Immigrant Resource Center, but a lot of the places that offer resources for immigrants are legal services. They're offering legal advice and legal services for all the legal issues that people face. And then I listed a couple of the international student ones. International Student Incorporated is an agency that works with international students throughout the country and has people in our area as well. They have a lot of resources, both free resources and purchased. A lot of the booklets I have on the table back there on how to reach different cultures and do Bible studies with internationals and stuff are all from ISI. My resources on the table there are all to be borrowed. If you want to borrow them, just let me know. I only have one copy of each. If they're interesting, you can purchase all of them. Almost all of them from ISI. And then there is a group in this area, the Philadelphia Association of Christians Ministering Among Internationals, that actually gets together for online prayer every other month to pray for internationals in the area. And they run resource seminars and stuff throughout the year. I've been to a few of theirs over the last couple of years. And the last one is just, we as a church here have worked with international students, giving out welcome bags, doing Thanksgiving dinners, et cetera, on the local campuses. Our Thanksgiving dinner is coming up, and tonight there will be sign-up sheets for that in the gym and for the next couple of, next week or so here at the church. But again, that's a little corner as the international students. There's a much larger ministry, as you've seen here, represented. And I just want to run down the line. If you don't have something to say, that's fine. But, Sir Thiago, is there any closing comment you would give to us as we think about how to love internationals around us?
No.
Okay. I would say, especially if you're working with people from a specific country, any information you have that you can like learn about their country, internationals, in my experience, people love that. If you know how to say thank you to them in their native language. It's something that can just light up their face and can really make their day that like this person took the time to learn something about my culture, be it for like a holiday, like it's Christmas time. If you can say Merry Christmas to them in their native language, that can mean a lot to them.
Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's hard to recognize how many things we think are normal because they're our culture and they're not normal universally. And so just if you know that going into a situation and then somebody like clears their throat really loud at the table, that's because that's normal there. And it's not normal for us, but it's not a universal thing that that's gross, right? And so, you know, it's not, right? It's okay. And so if you're aware that a lot of what we think is normal is cultural and not normal as humanity, that's helpful.
Thank you. Leo.
For me, that was a good experience. I've seen a lot of cultural something. I had some of the good cultural people, some of the people uncultured, but mostly I see the good people who both learn good culture. And I try to make a sentence. If I see something that's good, then check this. It's not against any Bible, any scripture, but as I can take up stuff from this and more and more. And some, one time I had that in my company, seen this something. Somebody put there some piece of cookies, some bread, some trash can. I was pick up this and I move outside and to the birds, but that's the birds, something like that. Why did that? He said, in my country, everything. Nobody can put the death on the bread inside. In it, better put something in a forest for some of the animals for something, but not for the not in a church and something like that. Mm. Yeah, that's a good stuff.
That's yeah, it was a big shock for us when we just arrived, seeing bread in a church. We were like, wow, if you would see how many hungry children in every country. You would never ever do it. You would collect, give to the farm for pigs, for nothing, just, you know, like recycling plastic and recycle all that. Wow, somebody dying now without a piece of bread and they trash it. Shock.
Well, if you're speaking with the internationals who doesn't know slang of English, please withhold that, because American slang is sometimes shocking. The first one when I was introduced to, can you please keep your eye on it? And I'm like, what? I am not keeping my eye on anything.
we have some slang.
So much slang that doesn't
right. I had another international student say that to me. Somebody told me to pick my brain.
So yes, please, when you're using it.
Until now, I haven't, what is this? Yeah. Or in a class, ask them you will. She is my interpreter
for
all
slang,
the slang.
So.
Please. Mike said something, and everybody just looking at my face for my reaction.
Yeah, that's a great role somebody can play, is to be an interpreter for, you know, to help an international understand things. Good.
Too Asia. Much. Remember it. There is no rules. Slam. For internationals. But you're going to have Christian internationals. So my advice, I have advice for Christians who arrive at zero English. My first book which I read, it was Bible. From the first page to last one. I took King James and said, no, that's different language. It's not on the street language. I need to take another version. Mm-hmm. And I took another version, which... So I was just plainly reading English and understand that this is Matthew talking about that. That was my study book, Bible. Mm-hmm. Bible is the best study book for language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done Bible study with international students to help them learn English through the Bible.
Bible.
Yep.
Yes, Bible.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that question about resources. This is the only source for me, Bible. So.
Great. Asia?
I think for internationals, we need people to be patient when we talk, because it's different language when we speak in our country. So sometimes we just don't get it.
Yeah. Very good.
for
yeah, what's the face? Is there understanding or not?
Or forgive us. Like if we get a wrong interaction. Sometimes you say something and we look like it's just we wouldn't digest. Yeah. Yeah. And my comment is like if you really don't know how to communicate with international students or international people, you can start from food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, start from food. It is a good start. Yeah, and then yeah, you can talking about food in here or in their country, they will always love to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and yeah, bourbon chicken is not Chinese food. All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. And
so,
then, yeah.
It's from Taiwan.
I do think we can declare Zeno's discipleship complete. He's now talking about food and prayer.
Yes.
Always starts and ends. So Nate, would you pray for those up here and for us as a church as we go?
Father, we just thank you and praise you for all these people up front this morning. Thank you for just their time and just answering these questions. Some of them are going to be difficult questions for them. Lord, I can't even imagine just moving to a different country. I have to keep reminding myself of that when I interact with my international students about moving from a different country, learning a different language, learning just a different culture. Just an amazing thing and just a very difficult and challenging thing that a bunch of them were talking about there. So, Father, we're just thankful that they are part of our family, that they do feel loved at this church, and we want to love them, and we want to walk with them and to grow in you together. And we just pray that you would just allow for that, Lord God, that you would just build our relationship with them. We just pray that you would help them to... just find more and more comfort, just integrating into the culture of America, and just ultimately, Lord, growing in you and growing in their walk with you. We thank you for them again. Thank you for just the vital part of our church body that they are, and pray that you would help them in just growing in their gifts and their talents that they have, and just using them for your kingdom advancement, we pray. In your name, amen.
Amen.